What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just drop the first single off of my upcoming album, Crazy 8. The single is called Firecracker. It is the first single off of the album that is to drop on May 8th. So you can check out Firecracker on my official website, katietrop.net. And like I said, you could pick up Crazy 8 on May 8th. But until then, I'll be releasing singles and lyric videos, music videos, and also new bumper music for the podcast as well that has a sports-related related song, but that'll be closer to the release of the album. So like I said, go check out Firecracker on my website, katietrop.net. All right, so let's get into the week of sports and talk about baseball. And gotta say, what a series we had this week between the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Angels. I mean, two of my favorite players to watch are Aaron Judge and Mike Trout. And we got a show this week between the two of them. I mean, it felt like every time those two came up to bat, they were hitting it out of the park. And it was insane to watch. It was just back and forth. And so we're going to talk about a few of those games, but we're also going to talk about a few other games as well. But I just have to say, hats off to Aaron Judge and Mike Trout for both of them. Both of them just put on such a fantastic show. So let's start off with Monday. The Yankees got the win over the Angels 11-10. And this was a back and forth game from the jump. Started out Yankees 2-0, and then it was Angels come up to bat, and they take the lead, and it was just back and forth literally all the way down to the bitter end. Mike Trout had two home runs in this game. Aaron Judge had two home runs in this game. And Grisham had two home runs in this game for the Yankees. Grisham was basically the difference in this game, even though Trout and Judge were the notable two home run guys. Grisham's two home runs really came up in pivotal moments. But the Yankees got the win on Monday. Then also on Monday, the Pittsburgh Pirates took down the Washington Nationals 16-5. Paul Skeens, he looked like he finally got back to his old self in this one. He went six innings pitched with six strikeouts in this one. It didn't start out too great for him, but then he just kept it moving, and then the offense really picked it up. As I said, Brian Reynolds looks like the Brian Reynolds of old. He had four RBI in this one. And Brandon Lau, he was a free agent pickup in the offseason. And so far, he has really paid off for the Pittsburgh Pirates to start the season. He in this game, he had five RBI in a 16-5 win for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And probably the hottest team in baseball, other than the Padres, right now is the Cleveland Guardians. They got a win over the St. Louis Cardinals 9-3. Rocchio had a home run with two RBI. Ramirez went 2-for-4 with two stolen bases. And it's just crazy because this Cleveland Guardians team, it's just when I think they are down and out, this just all of a sudden a bunch of new guys come out of nowhere and step it up for them. They've got a new pitcher I'm going to talk about who's made his debut this season and is having a fantastic year. I've already talked about their other rookie, Chase DeLotter. He's been having a fantastic year. And then, of course, like I said, Ramirez continues to beat Jose Ramirez. And then you got Rocchio. He kind of got hot a couple years ago. It's just kind of crazy to see how, that even when it feels like the Guardians are going to be going away, here they come yet again. Then on Tuesday, the Dodgers got a win over the New York Mets 2-1. Yamamoto pitched a gem, went 7.2 innings pitched with seven strikeouts. McClain, though, he for the Mets, he was right there, right in stride with Yamamoto with seven innings pitched and eight strikeouts. And then Kyle Tucker, he actually had the game-winning run in this game. So that was really the difference. But this was a pitching duel between Yamamoto and McClain all the way down to the bitter end. But the Dodgers did get the win over the Mets, who are just reeling right now, 2-1. And then on Wednesday, like I continue to say, this New York Yankees versus Los Angeles Angels series just got even better on Wednesday. The Yankees got the win 5-4. Aaron Judge had a home run. Mike Trout had a home run. And then Caballero had the game-winning double to get this another close one. I mean, that's what's so crazy is that, yes, it's impressive that both Judge and Trout are doing what we're expecting them to do, just walking up to bat and knocking them out of the park. But at the same time, they're getting these really game-changing home runs, especially Trout. I mean, Mike Trout looks like the Mike Trout of old. I mean, the last couple of seasons, he's been having to battle through really debilitating injuries. But this year, he is raking. I've always loved Mike Trout's swing. He's got the most violent swing in baseball, I feel like. And just watching him just smash a home run is just so fucking awesome. So I just really loved each of these games because I've watched all of these Yankees-Angels games so far, and they have just been fun to watch, very impressive to watch, and just close matchups, except for yesterday's, which we'll also get into here pretty soon. But then also on Wednesday, the Dodgers took down the Mets 8-2. But this one, we're going to be talking about Shohei Ohtani and his pitching. He did not bat in this game. He went 6 innings pitched, though, with 10 strikeouts. Basically, the only thing that Ohtani has yet to achieve in his career is a Cy Young, and I think he really has his eyes set on that Cy Young award. I mean, I know it's very, very early in the season to even be talking about a Cy Young award, but the way this dude is pitching so far, it's just nuts. So I won't be shocked if he gets it. But like I said, he did not hit in this one, but the guy who stepped in for him rushing, he hit a grand slam in this big 8-2 win for the Dodgers. And then also on Wednesday, the hottest team in the league, the San Diego Padres, got a win over the Seattle Mariners 7-6. Jackson Merrill had a huge game. He robbed a home run, then he went 2-for-5 and had the game-winning double in this one. And it's just the Padres are winning in just, I told you, I picked the Padres to go to the World Series. I picked the Padres. I did not get them to pick them to win the division over the Dodgers, but I do expect them to make things difficult for the Dodgers. And so far, they are making things difficult for the Dodgers. And it's because overall, this is a beautiful roster. I mean, when you're talking about baseball, this is probably the most perfect baseball roster you can produce because they have so much talent at so many different positions, and it's not just one position, and it's not just on offense, it's not just on defense, it's not just pitchers, it's literally every position from top to bottom. They are stacked, and even dudes like Fernando Tatis hasn't even got hot yet. He's actually been very, very quiet to start the season, but I don't expect him to remain that way. But they are fantastic with scoring runs. They're fantastic by just getting on base. They know how to steal bases. They're great defensively. I mean, great defensively. They've got young talent. They've got old talent. They've got veteran leadership. They've got new guys on the come up. They've got a great starting pitching rotation. They've got excellent bullpen, which is where they are really getting a lot of production. I'm telling you, man, the San Diego Padres team ain't nothing to fuck with. And so far, that's what they've shown to start the season. And then yesterday, the Angels smashed the Yankees in probably the most lopsided win of the series, 11-4. I mean, it was all Angels all day. As a matter of fact, Mike Trout, stop me if you heard me say this, but Mike Trout had a home run in this one. As a matter of fact, in this series alone, Mike Trout had 5 home runs and Aaron Judge had 3 home runs. These guys, I told you, they came to play, but the Angels yesterday, they really came to play and they just smashed it out of the park in a huge win for them in this series. And then the Cleveland Guardians, like I said, they keep it moving. They beat the Baltimore Orioles 4-2 and their rookie starting pitcher. It is so crazy with the Guardians because the Guardians are that team where they just always have a starting pitcher on the come up, and Messick is the new dude. He went 8 innings pitched, almost had a no-hitter all the way up until, I believe, the 8th inning, 7th inning, something like that. He went deep with a no-hitter, but 9 strikeouts as well. They ended up having to take him out, but he still got that win. And Ramirez had another fantastic game, 2-for-3, a home run, and 2 RBI. And I'm telling you, this Guardians team, man, they just are always shocking, they're always surprising, and they are always there. And then the hottest team, like I continue to talk about, San Diego Padres got their 8th win in a row, this time over the Seattle Mariners, 5-2. Tatis finally got hot yesterday. He made some big plays. Defensively, he actually hasn't really been bad. It's been offensively, he hasn't even hit a home run yet this season. But this San Diego Padres bullpen is just, whew, man, I'm telling you, the Padres, they are going to be a good-ass team this year. It's just, they are the Padres. That's the only problem I have with the Padres is they're the Padres. And until they can prove that they are a team that can make it, ain't nobody believing in them unless you're a Padres fan. All right, so let's get into basketball because the playoffs begin this weekend. The play-in has been fantastic, by the way. So we'll talk about the play-in games. We have the last play-in games tonight to decide the last two spots in the playoffs. But the NBA first-round playoffs kick off tomorrow. Saturday and Sunday, we get all game ones. And then throughout the rest of the week and the next couple of weeks, the first round will be sprinkled in throughout all the entire week. And it's just going to be basketball on basketball on basketball, and I am here for it. Now, I am a Lakers fan, so of course, you know who I'm rooting for, but my expectations for the Lakers are so low right now because we don't know when Luka's coming back. We don't know when Austin Reeves is coming back. Don't get me wrong, I got mad-ass respect for LeBron, especially when it comes to the postseason, but he's going to need some help, and we literally have no idea if they're even going to play in the first round. That is so, especially against a team, I'll get more in-depth into it because I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to go in-depth on every first-round matchup, and then I'm also just going to go all the way to who I believe is winning it all this year. With the Lakers, their matchup is going to be tough if they don't have at least Luka coming back. So let's get into the play-in games that we had first beginning on Tuesday night. We had two crazy games. First beginning between the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets. This one actually went into overtime. It was mostly dominated by Charlotte, though. Charlotte is a really damn good team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And Miami, they are just too, they've been too shaky all season, but they did what they do, and that is just stick in it. But Charlotte just made all the plays in the end, especially in overtime. They got the win 127 to 126, and LaMelo Ball had the game-winning layup. I mean, this guy, he is fantastic this season. Had 30 points, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds. And like I said, the game winner, Bridges, went off, 28 points and 9 rebounds. And Kobe White had like 13 points straight in this game. It was, this Charlotte Hornets team, while I don't believe they're going to win a championship, I feel like they're a team that's going to push whoever they face to the brink. If they make it to the, because they haven't made it to the playoffs, because this matchup that they just beat Miami in, that sends them to tonight's game to potentially play the number one overall seed. But Charlotte is a very, very scary team offensively, especially from the three-point line. And if they get hot, they are too difficult to stop. But like I said, LaMelo's hot, Bridges, Kobe White. This is a very, and Con Knipple didn't even have a good game in this one. So imagine what he's going to do tonight. So that was the first game, how we started it off. Then the second game we had on Tuesday was between the Portland Trail Blazers and the Phoenix Suns. This was another one that went all the way down to the wire, but Portland took the win 114 to 110. Advia, he had 41 points, 12 assists, and 7 rebounds, and Drew Holiday, the seasoned vet. This is why I always talk about these seasoned vets, especially during playoff time, because they might not make noise during the regular season, but when you need them in the moments that count in the regular season, like a fourth quarter run, or especially in the postseason, once you hit the postseason, those seasoned vets, especially ones with championship rings like Drew Holiday, they know what they're doing in the postseason. He had 21 points in this one, and Portland Trail Blazers move on to face the San Antonio Spurs in the Western Conference. Then on Wednesday night, we had the Philadelphia 76ers go up against the Orlando Magic, and it was all Philadelphia all night. They got the win 109-97. Orlando kind of kept in it for the most part in the first half, but the 76ers had control from the start, and then in the second half, they just kept pushing away, and you could just tell this was going to be the 76ers' night. Tyrese Maxey had 31 points, but Vijay Edgecombe, he is a rookie. And he went 19, had 11 rebounds in this one. But the double-double is not what's most impressive to me. It is this dude and his defense. He is excellent on the defensive side of the ball. And that was really what was the difference in this game. So the Philadelphia 76ers got the win. And they move on to the first round of the NBA playoffs. And they will be playing the Boston Celtics. And then the second game we had on Wednesday night in the play-in, we had the Golden State Warriors at the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers do what the Clippers do, and that is look like they're going to win this game all the way up until the fourth quarter. And the Golden State Warriors are like, excuse us, We are a championship pedigree team, and you are a no-level loser, piece of crap, second-rate team in LA. I mean, who's even a Clippers fan? I mean, like, the fucking women's swimming team at UCLA probably has more fans than the Clippers do. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Clippers are so bottom of the barrel in LA. It's like there's college teams or college sports for both USC and UCLA that probably have more fans. And you would go, oh, ain't nobody watching women's fucking polo, but they probably got more fans than the Clippers do, especially this year. But like I said, the Clippers do what the Clippers do, and that is completely fade away in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry went off in the fourth quarter. He ended up with 35 points, but it was him in the fourth quarter. But also Porzingis, another savvy veteran who's got that veteran leadership and the championship pedigree. He had 20 points and was huge down the stretch in the fourth quarter. And then yet another savvy veteran, Al Horford, who has been around the motherfucking block, had 14 points and was also huge in their fourth quarter run for the Golden State Warriors to win 126-121. And for them to move on to the second game in the play-in game. So let's move on to the two remaining play-in games we have tonight. These games are going to decide who goes up against the number one overall seed in each conference. So first off, we have the Charlotte Hornets versus the Orlando Magic. And whoever wins this is going to go up against the Detroit Pistons. So good luck to either one of you. Both of these teams offensively mirror each other perfectly. I mean, Orlando's spectacular at the three-point line, but so is Charlotte. They have about three guys on each side of the ball who could just go off offensively and make the big plays when needed. So to me, I'm really just going with the hot hand in this one, and that's Charlotte. Charlotte's been playing great basketball, I want to say, at the last second half, really, of the season. They've really started to put it together. Con Knipple and LaMelo Ball look like an excellent dynamic duo here. And like I said, with Knipple not having a really good game in the last one, I kind of expect him to go off in this one. I think Orlando's going to be more in this game than they were the Philadelphia 76ers game, but I have Charlotte winning this one. Then the second matchup we have is in the Western Conference. This is to go up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is the Golden State Warriors versus the Phoenix Suns. And this, I'm going with the veteran championship level team. Golden State knows what to do in this. They know what to do. They've won. They just know what to do. And I always am going to lean towards they know what to do. And they proved that in that last game. And the Phoenix Suns, they don't know what to do. The Phoenix Suns are basically like the Los Angeles Clippers, another rah-rah-ree team that kind of gets there, but they never do get there. And Golden State, they know how to win, so I'm taking Golden State in this one. So let's move on to my playoff predictions and go more in depth on each first-round matchup and then how I feel like we are going to end up within the NBA Finals and ultimately who I feel the NBA champion is going to be this year. So let's start off with the Western Conference and all the first-round matchups, starting with whoever faces off against the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's either going to be the Warriors or the Phoenix Suns. I have the Warriors moving on and facing the Oklahoma City Thunder, but to me, it doesn't matter who the Oklahoma City Thunder face off against because they are the better team overall. I mean, Oklahoma City has played excellent basketball for the last, God, like 3-4 years now, and they are the defending champions. They haven't lost a step. They're just getting healthier as the season wears on, and now it's championship time. And they are the defending champs for a reason. And while Golden State, they know how to... I feel like Golden State is going to push them in each and every game. This is not the Golden State Warriors that we are used to seeing. This is the beat-up Golden State Warriors. And while they've got a lot of veteran leadership, sometimes that veteran leadership breaks down, and I wouldn't be shocked if some of these dudes end up missing some of these games in the series. But to me, it doesn't matter. Like I said, even if they face the Phoenix Suns, I think Oklahoma City's going to roll. It doesn't matter who they play. I just think they're the better team on every single level, in every single way. I've got Oklahoma City not only winning in this first round, but winning easily in 5 games, no matter who they face, the Golden State Warriors or the Phoenix Suns. Then the second matchup we have in the Western Conference first round playoff matchups, we have the San Antonio Spurs versus the Portland Trail Blazers. The Spurs have been one of the best teams all season long. One of the top tier, top level teams from top to bottom. They are so impressive. Their roster is so impressive. And it's not even just Victor Wembanyama who's impressive. They have so much talent. They've just De'Aaron Fox. You got Castle. You got Vassell. You've just got so many dudes on this roster that are so impressive. I just think that Portland is really lucky to be here. While Portland has played pretty solid basketball all season, I don't think they're ready for what the San Antonio Spurs got for them in this round. And I've got the San Antonio Spurs rolling over the Portland Trailblazers in five games in the first round. Then we have the Denver Nuggets versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. This, I think, is going to be one of the better matchups in the Western Conference first round because these are division rivals. Minnesota, they've had their ups and downs, but Denver looks like championship level Denver Nuggets. They are healthy and they are great on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. Jokic is having another MVP year. Jamal Murray has just stepped up his game to a whole other level of play. It's just nuts. Aaron Gordon having a fantastic year. This is just a fantastic Denver Nuggets team that I have a lot of actual high hopes for the Denver Nuggets in this playoffs, because I just think they are playing such excellent basketball, where the Timberwolves, not too consistent. Even though I think these two teams know each other well, I think it's going to be a really hard-fought series. Denver, I think, is going to absolutely dominate this series, but I do think it's going to be pushed to the brink. I've got Denver winning this series in six games. And then the last Western Conference first-round matchup we have, my Los Angeles Lakers versus the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets are the best rebounding team in the league. This is why we need at least Luka back. Not because of his rebounding skills, but because with no Luka or Austin Reeves, LeBron has to do everything. And while LeBron is a great player, he's not that type of player to win a championship, we just can't have LeBron do everything. We need a team to win this. And that's why I'm like, God, we at least need Luka to take some of the offensive pressure off of LeBron, so LeBron could be in the paint. And because we're going to need LeBron in the paint. We're going to need LeBron in the paint. We are going to need LeBron in his defense. We are going to need LeBron in the paint. We are going to need LeBron in those kind of critical moments, and we need another person to step it up offensively. Of course, we're going to need LeBron to be good offensively, but we need LeBron doing the dirty work and getting the assists and getting the rebounds and getting the defensive plays, and we need a Luka and a Reeves to be doing the offensive work. But unfortunately, we don't know when we're getting Luka or Reeves back. It's looking very bleak for Austin Reeves. It doesn't look like Reeves is coming back at all in any game in the first round. It looks like Reeves is more likely, potentially, if the Lakers move on to the next round, that's when he would be back, maybe. And then Luka, they're saying he's more than likely missing the first game tomorrow. But he's looking like they have no timetable, which is the problem with the both of them. So my hopes aren't high if that's the way it remains. But if we do at least get Luka back, I do expect this to be a hell of a series, because, I mean, LeBron versus KD is going to be a hell of a matchup. I mean, Kevin Durant has been having a phenomenal season offensively. He cannot miss this year. And that's going to be a problem for the Lakers. And this is what I mean. We need at least somebody else on the offensive side of the ball to take this pressure off LeBron, so LeBron can do the dirty work. Stopping Kevin Durant is a tough task for anybody. Even if you're the greatest defender of all time, or if you're LeBron freaking James. So we're going to need LeBron doing the dirty work. But this Houston Rockets team, they're great in the paint. They're great offensively. It's just their main problem is defense. They're not that great defensively, and they are a team that tends to collapse in the difficult games. So I do think this is going to be, regardless of how things end up with injuries and such, I do think this is going to be a good series. I do think it's going to be pushed to the brink. And I, of course, have the Lakers taking the series in seven games out of hopes we at least get Luka back at some point. Because like I said, it is going to be really difficult to win this series if LeBron cannot do the dirty work. And he needs to do the dirty work, and we need somebody else to do the offensive lifting. So, and like I said, I know what LeBron's capable of. We all know what LeBron's capable of, but this is a different beast. This is a different task, and we at least need Luka out there. So we'll see what happens, but that's how I've got the Western Conference first round shaping up. Now let's move on to the Eastern Conference first round matchups. First matchup is going to be the Detroit Pistons versus either the Charlotte Hornets or the Orlando Magic. Either way, whoever the Pistons face, I don't think it matters. I think the Pistons have been the best team in the Eastern Conference, hands down. And then overall in the NBA, they really haven't had a losing streak. They really haven't had a down moment. Even when Cade Cunningham was out with injuries, they still played well. Even when Durant was out with injuries, they still played well. So this is a team, and they're great offensively, defensively, in the paint, three-pointers. They are so good at every aspect of the game. To me, it does not matter who they face, the Charlotte Hornets or the Orlando Magic, because I don't think, while I think offensively they have the offensive firepower to keep up with them, I just think Detroit's defense is going to be suffocating in the end, and no matter who Detroit faces off against, I have them facing off against the Hornets, but no matter who they face off against, I think Detroit's going to easily get through and move on, and I've got Detroit winning in five games. Then the next Eastern Conference first round matchup, we have the Boston Celtics versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Boston, Jason Tatum is getting healthier. Jason Tatum is getting hotter. And Jason Tatum is starting to look like the Jason Tatum of old. That I told you this is what was going to happen. He just needed that month to heat up. And then once the playoffs get rolling, he and Brown are going to be a force. And what sucks for the rest of the Eastern Conference and the rest of the league, really, is that while Jason Tatum was out, a bunch of other players were able to shine in the big moments and actually get some playing time and grow over the season. And now that Tatum's back, if he has to, because, you know, he's not going to be playing, well, he might be playing the full minutes. You never know with Tatum. But I just saying, maybe he's going to have to sit out in certain moments. Man, some of these other dudes can step it up, and they've proven that they can, and we all know that Brown can. Brown has been one of the most overall excellent players this year, offensively, defensively, rebounds, three-pointers. He is so good in every aspect of the game. What sucks for Brown is that he is an MVP candidate, but it's just we have so many other good players this season that he kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but Brown is having an amazing year for the Celtics. And I just think the Celtics are going to roll over the Philadelphia 76ers easily, because while the 76ers have a lot of talent, they're still the 76ers, and these are the Celtics. They've won a championship. They know what they're doing here. I've got the Celtics rolling in five games. Then we have the New York Knicks versus the Atlanta Hawks. The Knicks have had their up and down moments, but the Knicks are still a good team. They've still got a lot of talent. And the Atlanta Hawks, while they've been one of the hottest teams rolling into the playoffs, I don't believe in the Hawks in any way, shape, and form. As a matter of fact, I kind of feel like the Knicks are going to dominate this series easily. Usually, the first round in the Eastern Conference are a bunch of sweeps. I almost picked sweeps in these, but I tend not to pick sweeps unless it's just like such a runaway that I do it. But I always kind of, you notice I picked the first two matchups to win in five. And I'm picking this one, Knicks in five, because like I wouldn't be shocked if these three ended up in sweeps, because that's just how disrespectful I feel towards these matchups, because just one, they're so lopsided and one team's just so much better than the other that one team's going to be really lucky if they even get one win. Now, really, the only interesting matchup, I think, in the Eastern Conference first round is going to be this one, the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Toronto Raptors, mainly because these two match up very well against each other. Cleveland's been the better team this season over the Raptors, but the Raptors have probably been one of the biggest surprises all season. I mean, they actually started off the season really hot. They kind of kept it moving. I mean, they had their lulls, but for the most part, they have been one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and they have stepped it up against good teams. So I expect them to step it up against the Cavaliers. And what happens in the playoffs? What is always, every single year, what is something that just always happens during the playoffs? Oh, that's right. James Harden completely disappears. And that's what I expect him to do with the Cavaliers. You know, he's had a he's been fantastic for them since they traded for him. But I've been waiting for the playoffs, and it's playoff times, James. And we know playoff Harden. It is playoff disappearing act for the dude. And but even so, I still think the Cavaliers are the better team than the Raptors. So I'm taking the Cavaliers in this one, simply because they are the better team, but don't be shocked if the Raptors are moving on. But I've got the Raptors pushing him to the brink in seven games. I have the Cavaliers winning that one in seven games. So my Western Conference semifinal matchups are the Oklahoma City Thunder versus my Los Angeles Lakers. No matter how things end up roster-wise for the Lakers, no matter what happens with Luka and Reeves, if they come back, if they do come back, if they are an X factor, what they usually are, even if this is a healthy Lakers team, this Oklahoma City Thunder team ain't nothing to fuck with. They are so good. I think this Thunder team is better than last year's Thunder team, and last year's Thunder team won the NBA Finals, okay? So even with a great Lakers team, I'm going with the Thunder in this matchup begrudgingly. Of course, I'm rooting for my Lakers, and of course, I'm going for them in the finals the whole way. But if we're talking like just the better team, it's the Thunder. They're better defensively. They're better offensively. They're way more consistent on in every single way, shape, and form. And they're the defending champs for a reason. So the Lakers will have to prove it, but I've got the Thunder winning in six games in that matchup. Then the second Western Conference semifinals matchup we have is the San Antonio Spurs versus the Denver Nuggets. Now, my thing with the Spurs is I think they have played excellent basketball this year, and I think they are definitely the future of the league. I think they're going to be right up there every single year for at least the next 10-ish years. They're going to be a great team. Wouldn't be shocked if they win another championship, but I don't think it's going to be this year. And I think we are going to see that in this matchup. Because as I said, the Denver Nuggets are playing excellent basketball in every single way possible. And it's suffocating basketball. And I just feel like the Spurs are too young. And this is going to be one of those welcome to the postseason moments for them. You know, they dominate. They're going to be that team to me where a few seasons ago when the Oklahoma City Thunder, they were great in the regular season and then they hit the playoffs and then like ran into a wall and lost. And but here they are. Now they're the defending champs and they're the top dog in the league. That's how I feel about the Spurs this year. Is I feel like they're like the Thunder, where they're roaring in, had a great regular season, and I feel like they're going to hit a wall in the postseason, and this is where I think that wall is going to be. I think it's going to be a great series because I've got it going seven. But I've got Denver winning this one, and it's just because Denver's got the experience. Denver knows how to win in this, and I just, like I said, I think it's going to be one of those welcome to the postseason moments for the Spurs because they just haven't been there yet. They don't have enough veteran leadership. They do have a couple of guys sprinkled in here and there, but I feel like this, like I said, this is going to be that run into a wall moment for them, and I think Denver's just going to get the better of them, and I've got Denver moving on in this matchup. My Eastern Conference semifinal matchups are the Detroit Pistons versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like I said, I don't believe in the Cavaliers simply because of James Harden. He's not good when it comes to the playoffs. He always fucking disappears, and it always costs his team. And the Detroit Pistons, as I can continue to say, they've been one of the most consistent teams all season, especially in the Eastern Conference, but just overall in the NBA. They are good at everything and at on every level, and you are going to need to bring your A game with them every single night, and I just don't think that's going to happen. Even if James Harden shows up, I still think the Detroit Pistons are overall the better team in every single way, shape, and form, and I have Detroit rolling over the Cavaliers in this matchup in five games. Then we have the Boston Celtics versus the New York Knicks, and I think this is going to be a battle. I think Boston is playing excellent basketball. And like I said, Tatum is just looking like the Tatum of old. Every single game, and he's going to have his moments to shine. But I think the Knicks, you know, they're sick of being, you know, looked over. And I feel like they're going to definitely bring it in this matchup. I think it's going to be one of those battles where it goes down to the bitter end. We could see overtime, double overtime type games that come down to just like game-winning shots. And I think you could choose a guy, at least three guys on each side of the ball who can make that game-winning shot. And I think this is just going to be a beautiful, old-school NBA-style matchup. But I've got the Boston Celtics getting the better of the Knicks in this one. I've got it going seven games, but I've got Boston in seven games simply because I trust the Celtics more. And like I said, watching the way Tatum has been playing since he came back from injury, he started off slow, and he's just been getting stronger every single game. And I just expect Jason Tatum to really play pissed off basketball and just show the league that, hello, I'm still here. And then that Brown is going to be like, I don't care that Tatum's back. I'm still the motherfucking dude, and I just expect Boston to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals in this matchup. So my Western Conference Finals matchup is the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Denver Nuggets. So that means I have another matchup between two division rivals. But as I continue to say, the Oklahoma City Thunder, I expect this to be a battle. I really do. But the Thunder are so good at everything. They really do not have a weakness. They really haven't had, even their downtime during the season, it was not really, they didn't have a losing streak. Their losing streak, I think, was like three or four games. And even so, that's like whoop-de-fucking-do. They're still the Thunder. And while the Nuggets are playing excellent basketball, I kind of feel like the series against the Spurs is going to take a lot out of them. And then a series against the Timberwolves in the first round is going to take a lot out of them. And I just kind of feel like they're going to be so battered by the time they get to the Thunder that it's just going to be too much for them. And I've got the Oklahoma City Thunder winning the Western Conference Finals in six games. Then my Eastern Conference Finals matchup is the Detroit Pistons versus the Boston Celtics. And I think this is going to be an excellent matchup. These two teams match up very well. And if Tatum keeps playing at the level he keeps playing at, this is going to be beautiful. I mean, Detroit's defense versus Boston's offense. And just watching how, I mean, the domination in the paint from both of these teams is going to be crazy. But like I said, Detroit's dominance all season long, to me, they've played so good this season, and they have not. Them and the Thunder are the two most consistent teams. And even when they're down and out, even when they lose players to injuries, it doesn't matter. They are so deep. They play great offensively. They play great defensively. And while I like what I see from the Boston Celtics, I just don't think the Celtics are going to have enough. I feel like the Celtics are going to be like the Nuggets, where they're going to be pushed to the brink against the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference semifinals, where I just think it's going to be too much for them. And the Pistons are going to take care of business. I do think it's going to go seven games, but I've got Detroit Pistons winning the Eastern Conference Finals. So my NBA Finals matchup, I have the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Detroit Pistons. And this is tough because, like I said, the two most consistent teams in the league. But as I stated before, this Oklahoma City Thunder team is better than last year's Oklahoma City Thunder team. And they won the finals last year. So what do I think they're going to do this year? I think they're going to win it all this year. And I think it's going to go six games. But I think Oklahoma City's pretty much going to dominate every game. I think if Detroit gets any wins in the matchup, they'll be like really close wins where they might be like going to overtime games or something like that. But Oklahoma City is too good in every single way, shape, and form. And I just think not only are they the defending champions, I think they're ready to be, they're ready to win back-to-back. I think they want to be a dynasty. I think they're built to be the next dynasty in this league. And they are so good in every single way, shape, and form. And while I like what I see from Detroit, Oklahoma City are the defending champions, and they are better than last year's team. So I've got the Oklahoma City Thunder repeating as NBA Finals champs. My NBA Finals, Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Detroit Pistons. Oklahoma City wins in six games, and back-to-back champs, Oklahoma City Thunder. I think it's going to be a tough road for them. I think it's going to be excellent matchups to start. But like I said, we've got the first round kicks off tomorrow. We've got the Friday night matchups here. The last two NBA play-in games are tonight. Charlotte Hornets versus the Orlando Magic. Golden State Warriors versus the Phoenix Suns. And then the first round begins Saturday and Sunday, all the way throughout the next couple of weeks. And then all the way to June, we have us some great NBA playoff basketball, and I'm so looking forward to it. So enjoy the weekend of sports, and go Lakers, motherfuckers!